Welcome to the first podcast of The Green Elephant in the Room.
Welcome to The Green Elephant in the Room, a conversation about climate and the environment that we should be having. Now here is your host, Rico.
This is your host, Rico, at the Green Elephant in the Room. We're coming to you from beautiful Guadalajara, Mexico, where each week we address issues concerning the environment and climate change and give you timely tips, insights, and inspiration for all of us to live a cleaner, affordable, and more fulfilling lives while easing the burden that we are putting on the Earth's living ecosystems. As a middle and high school teacher, I have been engaged with and teaching about environmental issues my entire adult life. I've always approached these ecological concerns logically and with reason. I evaluated the evidence and calculated my impact, and I did what I could to ease my personal burden on the living planet. In the 5 decades I have been involved in these issues, it has become apparent that awareness is not enough. A new approach is needed. Consequently, I have decided not to even mention the negative impacts of these topics in this inaugural podcast. Not even once. We all know what they are. It turns people off and is counterproductive. Today, I am going to discuss 3 things. Number 1. Human perceptions and human behavior. Number 2, we have to have a different narrative. The old one of doom and gloom is not working. We have to commit ourselves to sharing inspiring new stories. All over the world, there are examples of successful restorations of ecosystems, recoveries of species, and creations of resilient and hospitable places for wildlife and people. Finally, number 3, why do we find it so difficult to communicate about climate and environmental issues? To put it in the simplest terms, the world has changed and we have not. The world you live in today is a very different place than the world you were born into. In a greater sense, that is the issue. Climate and environmental concerns have been at the center of political and media debates over 2 generations. They have been on the minds of enlightened individuals such as Rachel Carson and John Muir for even longer. Each year we see the effects on our ecosystems with more and more clarity. We've been talking about these impacts coming in the lifetimes of our children and our grandchildren. Now we know that it's coming for us. The human ability to delude ourselves has long been with us, but at the present moment, we are proceeding as if, in spite of all evidence, things are certain to work out in the end. Even now, after all the overwhelming scientific consensus on climate and ecological change, we are still discussing these issues as if they were a belief and not a fact. We have all experienced a lot of crying wolf about the climate apocalypse, but our problem is different this time. This time, the wolf is at the door. If you really think about it, this situation is surreal. Most of us would help a lost child or an accident victim, but we find it much harder to react emotionally to the deforestation of tropical forest or to the giant islands of floating garbage in a faraway ocean. We are not naturally built to have the emotional range necessary to address global problems. We humans are programmed to respond to the threats by fleeing or fighting. This global storm won't allow us to do either. It is beneficial to our mental health to avoid thinking too much about what we can't control. Death is an example. We all know that we and everyone we know will pass away. However, for good reason, we don't obsess over this fact. We don't want to feel guilty every waking moment. Likewise, with environmental issues, we want to savor a shrimp cocktail without thinking about the loss of mangroves in Central America. We want to be able to drive our children to soccer practice without having to rationalize the carbon units that we are pumping into the atmosphere. So, how do we change human behavior? Change is hard. Human beings are reluctant to change their behavior even under the most compelling circumstances. We are victims of our own biology in which we are programmed to react instantly to the tiger chasing us, but not slowly to receding glaciers. Environmental dangers do not lend themselves to arouse the kind of immediate urgency that motivates most of us to act. We have the ability and the technology to deal with the climate threat, but not the global willpower to do so. So, the facts are there, and they have been presented clearly. We can't replace this environmental disaster story by giving more facts and more information. That is not going to move people to action. So, what can we do? How do you communicate something that you can hardly see because it takes place mostly in hidden places or in the future? How do we communicate the urgency of these topics? How do we build hope? How do we imagine a different future and promote actions to make it real? We need to start telling a new story. Stories help us share facts, knowledge, and experiences about the causes and effects of a changing world. Yet they are much more than just educational tools. They also shape our lives and help define us. Our stories should celebrate the climate change heroes who are doing everything they can to avoid this doomsday scenario of overcoming the challenges rather than being overwhelmed by them. Holding on to hope even in the face of unimaginable odds. While images of a negative future are powerful and shocking, people cannot imagine what a positive future would look like. So, what better tool than stories and the power of imagination to narrate the future that we want to build? We can present to humanity a better version of itself. We can better demonstrate a sense of what is possible. At its most simple, it's a hero's journey. You have been told, read, and watched this story all your life. The small against the big, the downtrodden against the overlord, plucky humanity against the evil forces. Now imagine if climate change were an asteroid or an alien invasion, countries of the world would unite in the face of this extraterrestrial threat in a heartbeat. Heroes find their way around insurmountable odds. This is the most crucial part of our new climate story. And we've already begun to find the magical ways to trick ourselves out of the jaws of doom. Electric cars, solar panels, and wind turbines are just the start of the innovation explosion that is coming to our carbon-free future. Renewable energy is the ultimate annihilation of the climate monster. We must teach our children this new hero's journey story of climate change. And it's not a small story, nor a short one. This is an epic. We are going to need bravery, courage, and unlikely friendships and alliances. There will be no single hero saving us. It will take a dedicated system of communities around the world to overcome the scope of our environmental crisis. We have already started telling new stories. The narrative has already changed in many U.S. cities and states, as well as other countries around the world. For example, within days after the U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord, a parallel pledge was started where business leaders, mayors, governors, and college presidents signaled their personal commitment to the goal of reducing emissions. Mayors of cities, including Los Angeles, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Salt Lake City, have signed on, along with Hewlett-Packard, Mars, and dozens of other companies. The pledge includes increasing renewable energy, building rapid transit programs, and wastewater treatment plants. States and cities are adopting caps on carbon pollution, investing in growing clean energy jobs, and adding electric vehicles to their fleets. In Washington State, they have conducted the largest dam removal in U.S. history on the Elwha River. Salmon have already started returning. Corporations as diverse as Google, Target, and Campbell Soup are taking steps by buying renewable energy for their offices and factories and making their supply chains climate friendly. Their slogan is, "We are still in." In other parts of the world, things are happening. In American Samoa, community advocates are restoring the mangroves in their home villages to stop shoreline erosion and bring back a healthy ecosystem. In the native village of Shatulik, Alaska, residents have led the community in building a gravel berm to stave off rising tides. 6 years ago, the entire country of Rwanda banned plastic bags. These are non-political efforts. There is no red or blue about it. These are community adaptations that can bond us together as a planet and motivate global action for reducing our dependence on fossil fuels. Storytelling is the missing ingredient to climate change reform because it can transform scientific facts into relatable stories. One of the most promising movements is the Draw Down Project. This project, also a book, is the most comprehensive plan ever proposed to reverse global warming. The term drawdown refers to the idea of reducing carbon in the atmosphere with proven technology that already exists. The project suggests that technological solutions could roll back and reverse global greenhouse gas emissions within 30 years. This includes such diverse methods as alternative cement, smart highways, net zero buildings, and educating and empowering girls. We have the means and the techniques at hand. Nothing new needs to be invented. We simply need the vision and the political willpower. Here are five things we can do to change the story. Number one, we have to paint a positive future. Optimism has always had power. We humans have eradicated diseases, overcome great social injustices, and even reached the stars because enough of us believed we could. People need to see personal and emotional benefits for themselves as individuals, as well as a positive vision for the planet and society. Number two, we have to share solutions. Examples of what other individuals, companies, and governments are doing will help create a sense of collective action and togetherness. This will give people confidence that they can make a meaningful impact. Number three, we have to create community. People need to feel part of their local communities, and seeing what other individuals, small businesses, and local governments are doing and learning from each other and inspiring them to do their small part. People want to feel that they are doing their bit for a positive future. Number four, we need people to get out and vote. And number five, we need to talk about it, which leads me to my third and final point. Why is climate and environmental communication so difficult? Most Americans care deeply about climate change and the environment, but we don't talk about it much. Why? I don't know about you, but I rarely ever talk about environmental issues with anyone. It's too awkward. If the subject is brought up, it's usually not met with a lot of enthusiasm, and the topic gets changed quickly. Except for my classroom and the occasional school green group that I've been involved with, I rarely remember having an in-depth, engaging discussion about environmental issues. I think many people would consider themselves environmentalists, good stewards of the earth who care about the planet. Yet discussions of the obvious pressures we exert on the natural world are practically non-existent. Of course, I am not implying that nobody is engaged in these issues. There are plenty of people who have started organizations, written books, have advanced degrees in environmental and earth science fields, and many others who have dedicated their lives to these issues. I am guessing, though, that your experience is similar to mine, where the topic is generally off limits in virtually all social situations. So, why do you think this is happening? Yale University recently did an extensive study of climate change communication. The report suggests that the main reason we don't talk about environmental issues is because we don't hear others discussing it. The Yale study puts the blame on what they call the spiral of silence. This is a term coined by a German researcher who studied why so many people stayed quiet during Hitler's rise to power. People don't speak up when the consequences of sharing an unpopular opinion might mean losing friends and social status. Who wants to alienate friends and family and colleagues? Let's face it, it's hard to talk about this stuff without sounding negative. People are sensitive, and it's like you are attacking someone's personal choices. In my opinion, here lies the real problem we are facing. The sheer scale of the challenge, combined with its uncertain effects on our lifestyle and living standards, invites fear and anxiety. The benefits of being green need to be sold. People need to see income and jobs on the horizon. It's hard to argue with economic growth and new jobs. This is a central reason why fossil fuels continue to be popular. This is a key area where storytelling on and about climate change needs to be less doom and gloom and get real. People are afraid of losing jobs and opportunities. The stories of our dazzling future successes will solve more than just climate change. Renewable energy means jobs. Solar energy can help free people from poverty. Cutting pollution benefits our health. It also means new industries, new jobs, and new products all represent new opportunities. If you take one thing away from this podcast episode, remember this. We need to flip the script. We need new frameworks for climate and ecological change that focuses on courage, resilience, and opportunity. And yes, it is an opportunity to transform the very fabric of our society from its current patterns of consumption to one that is able to sustain our human civilization for a millennia to come. Have you ever read a story where the hero decides not to go on the quest because it seems too hard? Of course not. We admire and respect those who have the courage to act, even without the guarantee of a happy ending. Here are three good reasons to listen to the green elephant in the room. First, it will help you set priorities. We need to move beyond recycling and know which of the many hundreds of things that we consumers buy and do that cause the most environmental damage. Number two, it will help you stop worrying about insignificant things. The fact is, if we focus on the big priorities and downplay subtle differences between smaller actions, you won't have to sweat the small stuff, like disposable diapers or spray cans or paper napkins. And finally, three, the program will focus on those big priorities, sharing with you simple things that we can all achieve that will stop and even reverse our impacts that we're inflicting on the earth. If you are ready to move forward, you can rely on the green elephant in the room to provide you with clear, practical, and reliable information on the most effective changes that will redefine and reshape our world and allow you to make a significant impact that will matter for the health of our planet. On the next episode of The Green Elephant in the Room, we're going to share with you five words that will save the planet. It's that simple.
Thanks for listening to The Green Elephant. Visit us on our website, bit.ly/greenelephantintheroom. That's bit.ly/greenelephantintheroom, where you can find valuable information and links to everything that was addressed on today's show and more.